Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We rejoice, Lord, today because you are who you said you are. We want to pause and we want to recognize you as the creator of the heavens and the earth, as the eternal God who loves us so much that you would send your own son, Jesus, for us. And today, we want to acknowledge you. We want to welcome you. We want to say that, God, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our hearts, in our lives. And in this gathering today, you are welcome in this place. We love, we serve, and we honor you, Lord. Till the soil of our hearts so that we would be ready to receive the things that you have for us. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. And it's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen. So, you know, we've been talking about faith for a couple weeks. We've been talking about faith for a few weeks. I know last week, Pastor Michael shared on living by faith. He really talked about how important it is to trust God and how we grow in our faith by what? By getting tested. It's the way we grow in our faith. It's an unfortunate sometimes truth. We don't really like to be tested. I don't really like to be tested that much, but it happens and that stuff grows our faith. And so we talked about our faith in Jesus grows when it's tested. You know, the week before that, Pastor Phil Abeda was with us and he talked about having eyes of faith and how God wants to give us a fresh perspective and rejuvenate our faith in Jesus. You know, we can, if you want to, you can go back and just a little side note, you can listen to these messages. We have a podcast, which is cool. It's called CITCBA Insights. So you can go to the website and check that out as well, or wherever you listen to podcasts, go back and listen to those. And I just think that as we start a new year, sometimes, I mean, if you've been a believer, a follower of Jesus for any time, you've probably heard lots of sermons on faith. I mean, let's just be honest. But there's a reason why you've heard lots of sermons on faith. There's a reason why we hear lots of sermons on grace and mercy and forgiveness and love and compassion and being like Jesus. It's because we need to be reminded, amen? Listen, I need to be reminded. You know, the Bible calls us sheep. You know, sheep need to be reminded of things. Sometimes we're stupid and we need to be reminded of things. And so as we talk about faith, the beginning of the year, it's good for us to be reminded to think about our faith, our belief, our trust. So it's really appropriate. You know, faith is really this foundation of what we build our lives on. Amen? It's the foundation of what we build our lives on. You know, we're talking about faith and hope and belief. It's confidence in something. And faith, if you look under the big biblical usage, it talks about, there's these scriptures, faith is the substance of things not yet seen. It's something. It's a foundation. It's not just what we think, it's the way that we think about things. Our faith is the way that we think about God, the way that we're placing our confidence and our trust in somebody or something. Now listen, all of us have faith, not just the people in this room. Every single one of us, if you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, you have faith. Atheists have faith. They have faith that there is no God. That's faith. That's a belief system. They're believing in something. They're placing their confidence and their trust in something. Now listen, there's all kinds of different religions, all kinds of different things that are out there and things that we place our faith and our trust and our confidence in. But as believers, as followers of Jesus, we're making that choice to anchor our faith in the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we anchor our faith system in. It's important, again, as we think about faith, we think about anchoring our faith, our trust into one thing, and that's Jesus. He is the creator. We are the creation. Amen. I mean, that's simple, but so profound. You know, the Bible talks about God is the potter and we are the what? The clay. So if you've ever gone to, you know, like some sort of like an art show or something like that, maybe you've seen somebody spinning pottery. It's fascinating. No thing, that's beautiful. Like when somebody puts a big pile of clay and it's just a big lump of clay, and all of a sudden that potter starts getting this wheel going and this potter starts shaping this into something. And it's gradual and it's this process and they're using water and they're molding and these potters are shaping this pottery into something and they're making it into something. And sometimes there's these surprises where it looks like it's going to be a vase and boom, it becomes a bowl or a cup or something, a pot, something crazy, you know. But that's how we are with our faith, is we submit to the Lord and we allow God to shape us and to create us, to mold us. There's been songs, we sing songs in the church about God being the potter. We are the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Amen. Somebody knows that one. Come on now. That's a good song. We've been singing that song for years. But listen, too many times in this day and age, we take that faith and we say, you know, God, I like some of these parts about you. You know, we like to hear that God is a forgiving God. Amen. Anybody like forgiveness? Don't be ashamed of that. I love forgiveness. I need forgiveness. Just ask my wife. She's like, yeah, that man needs a lot of forgiveness. On the daily, I'm having to forgive. But listen, we all need forgiveness. And we all love that God is a God of love. God is love. God defines love. We all love that stuff about him. We love his grace and his mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And he gives us what we don't deserve. And there's justice. We love those things about him. But the question is with faith, is that do we embrace God as he actually is, or are we trying to make God into something that he isn't? Are we trying to make him into something that's more culturally relevant? Something I would say maybe more politically correct. Something that looks a little bit more like us and our desires and what we would like him to be versus who he is. Now listen, if we're talking about faith, how many people know it's important what you put your faith in? Okay, so if an atheist puts their faith in there is no God, that's a faith system. It takes faith to believe that, right? Because you can't see it, but they're just believing. Okay, well, I believe there's no God, and when the end comes, like, that's it. I don't know what they believe happens, but we believe in our faith as believers, as followers of Jesus. We believe in the one true God. Now, to be a believer, to be a follower of Jesus, what it means is it means that I'm placing my faith in the Word of God. I'm placing my faith in the person of God, and I want to take him as he is, not as I want him to be. Because there is a huge temptation for us to try to alter or try to adjust, or I don't know if you've heard this phrase before, cherry pick the scriptures. Have you ever heard of that? That kind of means like, I'm going to go through this thing. Ooh, I like this. Ooh, I like this Proverbs 31 wife. You know, give me one of those. That sounds pretty good. What else do I like in here? Ooh, I like that. Ooh, but this part, hold on a sec. Jesus said, take up your cross and die daily. Oh, I don't know about that. Let's go ahead and skip on. Keep reading. See if there's some other stuff I like. And listen, to know God and to actually have this faith means that we are embracing him as he is, not as we want him to be. This is so important right now to realize that God is the King of Kings. God is the Lord of Lords. Okay, now listen, the creation, that pot that we were talking about, has no permission, has no authority, has no dominion to look back at that creator, that potter, and say, you know what, I didn't want to be a cup. I want to be a plate, so I'm a plate. Or it has no right to redefine what the potter has in his mind. Creation has no authority or dominion to try to redefine who God is, because God is eternal. Listen, he was and he is to come. There is no shadow of change, is what the Bible says about God. He is the same yesterday, today, and at all times. And I get passionate about this because I see so oftentimes, guys, even in houses of worship, that people are tainting the name of Jesus, that they are calling him something that he is not, and they're saying that he affirms things that he doesn't. And they're trying to paint him in a way that he is not. And they're leading people into darkness. Because they're straying away from what the Creator God says is right and says is just and it says is the way to live life. Listen, God is not a mean God. God is a just God, and he's a loving and kind and compassionate God. But he says that there's terms to coming to know him. If you want to have faith, you've got to put it in me and what I have to say. So how do we come into true faith? Romans 10, 14 through 17 says this. How then shall they call on him that they have not believed? This is Paul talking about the Jewish people, but it applies to us as well. Now listen. And how shall they believe in him who they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Then in verse 17 it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's do some math, you know, like some equations. This plus this is going to equal this. Faith is going to come by hearing, and hearing is going to come by the word of God. So in order, again, if we're talking about faith, what we place our faith in, how do I know that I'm not deceived? How do I know that I'm placing my faith in something that's not true, that's not actual, that's not taking my creator as he is? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm actually choosing to align myself in faith to the word of God. Listen, Jesus is the word of God. Jesus Christ is the word of God. This is John 1, verses 1 through 3. It says this, in the beginning was the word. This is talking about Jesus. And the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And then bounce down to verse 14. In John 1, and it says this, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory and the glory of the one begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, the word became flesh. Again, the word of God. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, again, do the math. When you hear word of God, your faith, you hear about these things. It's about alignment. It's about truth. It's about coming into attunement with the truth. Does anybody know what attunement is? Let me give you an example of attunement. I'm going to grab my guitar. So this guitar right now is pretty much in tune. All right, I'm going to grab my pick. I want to play a G chord. Whoa. You hear that? So that's pretty much in tune. So when I sing, and I'm singing in the key of G, la 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 la, la 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 la, God is the potter. I'm in tune. I'm tuning up to the guitar. Okay, I'm attuning to the guitar, but if I'm playing in G, if this guitar is playing in G, but I'm in singing in a different key, oh God, and oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, Father, you're so good. Listen, I've been through some interesting worship auditions, by the way, that weren't far off from that. You know, that's okay. Music is not everybody's gift. But did you hear how I wasn't attuning to the guitar? Imagine that guitar is God, and this is like, here's how this goes. Here's how, if you want to live in alignment with me, if you want to put your faith in me, I'm playing a G. I'm playing the chord of G, and as you sing your song with your life, and your life is a song. Your life is a melody that's being sung to something. It's a life lived of worship and in praise, and you are glorifying something with your life. What that is, that's up to you. But as you sing, and if you sing, you need to come in tune with the Father. It's about coming in tune with the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So I want to come in tune with Jesus. I want to be in tune with him. When I start getting a little wobbly, when I start singing a little out of tune, my life starts looking like that. Things start feeling shaky. Sound waves are really interesting because basically, like when it's kind of like a tidal wave or like an ocean wave, everything in music emits a frequency. So it's like a wave. There's actual sound waves, and they have ways to measure these, and that's how you know you're in tune. You tune up by basically like the distance between the peaks on the waves can get shorter or longer. So basically, to tune up to the Lord means that you're riding the wave with Him. Your waves are in sync, and I'm not talking boy band. I'm talking in sync with the Lord. We're syncing up to the Lord. That's what faith looks like. It means syncing up to Him, not being out of sync. Listen, there are all kinds of crazy things that are seeking to destroy us and the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. What that means if we're taking that analogy of being in sync, syncing up those sound waves, here's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get us to where we're like all kinds of off, where it's sounding like whoa, 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 sounding crazy. Because we're living out of tune, and our lives will bear that fruit. When feeding things, we don't have peace. We don't have love. We don't have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. It means we're out of tune. It means that we're not synced up in our faith. So we just need to resync. Now listen, we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He has said, what He has set forth, we are to attune to. This is Hebrews 13, verses 8 and 9. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. Focus on that first part of verse 9 there. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Listen, 2,000 years ago, when the New Testament was penned, there were strange teachings going on. There's some weird stuff that was happening. There's things going on called Gnosticism, which is basically an elevation of the way that we think. There's, you know, a lot of philosophy and things that were going on with the Greek and Roman thought that were trying to interject themselves into this faith in Jesus. There's a lot of complex things that were going on, a lot of different teachings. Now, how many people know that there is still a lot of strange teachings going on? Like I said, listen, it's crazy and it grieves my heart as a pastor, as one who, listen, I don't do this perfectly. I don't live my life every single day, every moment in tune with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this, I want to. I want to live my life in attunement to the Bible. I want to live my life in tune with the Lord and have my faith growing in Him. But listen, there are places, like I said, there are places of worship that call themselves churches that are literally leading people away from this into feelings, into things that are cultural initiatives, social issues, and things that don't actually align with the Bible. And this is in no way a political conversation because guess what? Politics bow their knee to Jesus. There is only one king, that's King Jesus. And so when we're talking about this, we're not talking about a Republican or Democrat thing. We're not talking about left and right. We are talking about aligning our lives with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about, listen, this creator of God, maybe He knows the way I should live my life. I don't know. Maybe that potter who if anybody did science class and you dissected like a sheep's eyeball, anybody ever do that grossness? Man, that's gross. But listen, it's so cool at the same time because there's so much in a sheep's eyeball. You see all these different crazy things about the way that those things work with the iris and light refraction, all these amazing things. That's one eyeball of one sheep. Imagine every single thing in all of creation being held perfectly together. Imagine DNA and all these strands of things encoding. You know, when you get a scar, you get a cut, your body knows how to repair itself. And it knows where that skin's supposed to go and what it's supposed to look like. This is the God who loves us. This is the creator God who knows everything about us, who loves us, and He says, hey, here's how I want you to live life. Here's how I've created you to live life. Don't get in your feelings. Don't get caught up in relationships that are not honoring to Jesus. Don't get caught up in your finances doing some silliness like gambling or being wasteful. Don't get caught up living in a relationship with somebody outside of marriage. Don't get caught up. Don't do it. But why? So that we can't have fun? So that we can't enjoy? And isn't there grace? Isn't there forgiveness? Yeah, there's grace and forgiveness. But listen, there is a way that we should live our lives. That Jesus said, attune to me. And I would say, listen, if you are trying to find ways not to attune to him, you're probably not following Jesus. I'm not being mean, I'm just being real. Matthew 7, 24 through 29 says this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus preaching, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words, again, both of them are hearing, but the second one, this hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And now listen, when the rain came and the storms rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, it fell with a great crash. This is an encouragement and this is a warning. God don't play. That's not something to be funny or to be, God just does not play. Listen, he said, if you choose, you get to choose how you want to build your life. You get to choose that. You get to choose what you put your faith in. You get to choose how you choose to live your life, how you're going to interact with your parents, with your family, with other people, with your friends, how you do what you choose to do with your life. But he says, listen, if you listen to these words of mine, you're going to hear these words. And if you listen and you obey, you're going to be wise. And it's going to be like life is going to come and boom, 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 start beating down on that house. But guess what? You're going to be all right. Doesn't mean that the storm is going to stop. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't mean that that storm is going to stop. It means that I'm going to be safe and secure for all eternity because I know my life and my salvation is not conditional upon what's happening right now. It's on the blood of Jesus. It's on my relationship with him. I'm eternally secure. And if not, if we don't put our faith and our trust and our anchor and our hope in him, it's like you hear these words, but it's like you build a house on the sand on the beach. And waves are going to come, winds are going to come. And when that happens, it's going to fall down. Jesus' words, not mine. You know what's cool is that in 28, it says, of Matthew 7, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Isn't that interesting? People were listening to this and they were like, hold on a second. This guy is saying stuff and it's hitting. It is like hitting me. He's teaching something different than the way that I've heard other teachers teach before. He's teaching in a way that all of a sudden I feel like he's got authority to say what he's saying. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word of God, that same word that spoke those mountains into existence was speaking at that moment. And people recognized it. They knew it. They chose. You can come into alignment with this or you cannot. You can attune to this or not. It's your choice. That's the beauty of free will, is that God's given us a choice. So the way that we actually operate in faith, the way that we live in faith is to know the word of God. And guess what? To know God himself. Listen, y'all, we can't just know the book. We got to know the author. This is like the only book that's actually living and active. Does anybody remember that crazy movie back in the 80s, The Neverending Story? Did anybody see that Never Ending Story is kind of like about this book that kind of like you read it and all of a sudden this kid comes alive and he's like involved in the story. That's kind of how maybe they took that from reading scripture. Because the word of God is living and active and it's alive. And so when we start engaging with this word, we're also saying, God, I want to know you. God, I want to, if I'm to know exactly what is truth, if I'm to know what's real and not what's false, I need to attune to your word and I need to attune to you. I need to know you and I need to spend time knowing you. Has anybody ever been to Walmart and they get out a little blue light when you try to pay for something with cash and they're looking at that cash, they're holding it up like this? What are they looking for? Looking for fake money. Fake money. They're looking for money that is not real, counterfeit. Do you know how experts in counterfeit, how to identify counterfeit money? Do you know how experts learn about counterfeiting? Do you think that they spend time looking at all these different counterfeit bills and all this different stuff? Okay, oh, I see what they did here. I see what they did. No, they don't do that. They spend all their time knowing the real thing. They spend their time. They know what those bills are to look like in and out. They know the feel of the paper. They know every little spot that's printed on there. They know every little thing and where it should be, and they know where to look for inconsistencies that don't line up. You know the real thing by studying the real thing, by spending time with the real thing. If anybody wants to know God and know how to attune, you got to spend time with him. We have to spend time with him. We have to know his word. And again, I'm preaching to myself because life hits us. We get busy, right? Anybody get busy? Anybody have stuff to do? Yeah, probably a lot of us. But it's by knowing God, it's by listening to his word and knowing him intimately that we are going to be more like him. We're going to be able to attune to him and actually live by faith. John 10, 1 through 5 says this, "Very truly I say, or I tell you Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, he's a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to what? His voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he brought them out of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow them because they know his voice." Listen, verse 5, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. His sheep know his voice." Jesus is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. And another's voice, they're not going to follow. Sheep actually will do that. There's these crazy YouTube clips of these shepherds out in in Norway or somewhere like that. And this guy is out in the field and they have a group of people. You see all these sheep out in the pasture and they're like, okay, go ahead and try to call these sheep. And you have these three or four people try to do this. Well, come here, sheepy, sheepy. And these other people go, you know, sheep, sheep, come here, sheep, sheep. None of them come. And then the shepherd, he starts calling. He goes, sheep, sheep. And all of a sudden, you see those sheep go, whoop, head on a pivot, and they start moving in. And I mean, they're listening. And another voice, those sheep are not going to follow, but those sheep actually know the shepherd's voice. It is the wildest thing. But it happens. And that's what faith looks like. It says, Lord, when you speak, I know it's you. I know you so well when somebody else comes and tries to say something or come in with a doctrine or theology that doesn't line up with the truth, doesn't line up with who God actually is, I'm going to dismiss it as being a stranger's voice. I'm not going to listen to that. And listen, when there's a temptation for me to come outside and step outside of what I know is true, I don't want to do that because I want to live in alignment and attunement with the Word of God, with Jesus. And I want to know him. The God of all creation wants to know us. Matthew 7, 15 through 23, and you can read this those verses later. This is a sobering, sobering passage. Because it literally is talking about watching out for false prophets. They're coming to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. The enemy wants to lead us into destruction. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we would have life and life abundantly. I want to bounce down to verse 21. Jesus said this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only that one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." This is wild. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles?'" And listen to what Jesus says. "Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer.'" That should be pretty sobering for us. Because here he's talking about, you know, what a lot of Christians, a lot of us believers say, "Oh, listen, that person's prophesying, man. They're hearing from God. They know things about people that they have no right knowing. It can only come from God. Miracles, signs and wonders, people's legs growing out, people getting healed of cancer." Listen, I have seen people get healed of cancer. I've seen miracles take place instantly. I've seen it. I've seen prophecy happen. I've seen all those kind of things. And what the Word of God is saying, that there's going to be some of those people who literally think that they know God, but they actually don't know Him. And they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this crazy cool stuff in your name? Didn't we sweep up that church that one time? Didn't we go and serve the homeless some meals? Didn't we put a little bit of money in that collection plate? Didn't we pray for the sick? Didn't we do this stuff?" And if you don't know Him, it's a complete instant disqualification. He will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Listen, it's not about the stuff that we do. Salvation does not come from our works. Salvation comes from faith and grace alone. Amen? And so as we place our faith and our trust in Him, that's what we want to do. We want to attune to the Lord. I want to leave it with this little analogy of what I believe faith looks like. Imagine that there's a dad, and imagine there's his kids, and they're in a two-story house. And imagine that dad is up there on that second story, and there's a staircase that goes up to him. And imagine that dad says, "Okay, kids, I've got something so incredible for you up here. I got a prize for you up here. Okay, so I want you to come up here, but there's some conditions. There's some rules that you got to follow. You can't touch the stairs. You can't touch the walls. You can't touch the railing. But come up here." Well, these kids, imagine the frustration. Imagine kind of like, "Well, hold on a second. What are we supposed to do? I can't jump that high. I don't have a pulley system. I don't know what to do. How am I supposed to get up there?" And then one kid realizes, "I need to call out. Dad, would you come and carry me? Dad, come and carry me up the stairs." And the dad says, "You got it." And he comes down, he walks down, and he picks that kid up, and he brings him upstairs. And then the next kid says, "Dad, would you carry me?" And he goes back downstairs, and he brings him upstairs and says, "Now you'll receive the prize." That's what faith looks like. Faith isn't by our works. Faith isn't rooted, our faith in Jesus isn't rooted or grounded in something that He isn't. He is a good God that loves us and that literally made the impossible possible. We could not attain God. We could not come to Him apart from His coming to us first and bringing us with Him back into glory. And this is Jesus. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what's it look like to attune to Him? What's it look like just to be with Jesus and to encounter His presence, to encounter His goodness, to encounter His word, and to say, "Lord, I want to live my life in attunement to this. I want to tune up. And there's things I may not even understand about what you say." Listen, I don't know about you, but I've read the word sometimes. I'm like, "Lord, what does that even mean? I'm like kind of confused." That's okay. Ask the Lord. Ask Him to teach you. Listen, never rely on a pastor for your own spiritual growth. Never rely on a teacher. Never rely on a worship leader to do something worship on your behalf. I remember this phrase this pastor said one time that said, God does not have grandchildren, he's only got children. He ain't getting grandfathered into this thing. He doesn't have any grandkids. Just because your parents believe doesn't mean that you believe. Just because you grew up in a house where there's believers doesn't mean that you're a believer. This stuff doesn't just rub off. This stuff is like a personal relationship with Jesus. And so you and only you have the authority and have the right to say, Lord, come into my life. I want to attune to you. Teach me your word. I want to spend time with you. I want to be in your word. And I'm asking that you would help me. Amen? And listen, the good news is he's like that dad who's at the top of the stairs. He's like, guys, just call on me. He's just like, come on, you can figure this out. Come on, just call on me. I'm going to come down to those stairs and I'm going to come grab you and I'm going to come bring you up and you're going to receive the prize. How many people want to receive the prize, which is eternal life in Jesus? Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Kavinsky, if you could just play some, yeah. Again, just to reiterate, what we place our faith in is so important. Who we place our faith in. Every time we drive, if you're a driver, you push on those brakes, you're putting your faith in something. You're putting your faith and your confidence in it. Those brakes are going to stop your car. How many of us have that kind of faith? When I'm driving, I'm going down, and I have faith in Jesus that, Lord, you're going to do something in my life, that you're going to move in it. But I'm not going to be like these ones who just hold conditions. And God, if it doesn't work out exactly the way I want to, then I'm out of here. Sorry, that's too hard. I don't believe you. I want to do things my own way. We don't want to live that way. I want to live my life where even if I'm being threatened by fire, even if it looks like I might be going into the lion's den, I'm going to say, you know, I believe that God's going to rescue me. And even if he doesn't, I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to live by his word. I'm still going to seek to attune my life to him. And I want to be with him. The invitation today is to come. It's to come to the Lord. It's to come and know him, not as we try to make him into something, but as he actually is. Not this God that's distant and far off that just created us and said, oh, all right, well, you guys figure it out. No, this is a God who so much loves us. Man, he cares about our lives. He cares about you. He gave his own son for you and for me. Let's pray. Let's come before the one who deserves our honor and our glory and our attunement. Lord, this morning, we want to have faith. We want to have belief. But not just any kind of belief, not just any kind of faith. Not a kind of a faith that says, well, God, I like these things about you, but these other things I don't. The kind of faith that says, Lord, you created all things, including me. That you knew me before I was even in my mama's womb. You knit me together. You know every hair on my head or lack thereof. You know everything about us, God. And you love us and you want to be with us. And Lord, we want to place our confidence and our faith, our trust in you, God. Lord, help us to align to your word. Help us to come into attunement with what you say, with who you actually are. God, forgive us if we've ever tried to create you into something that you're not. If we've ever tried to be conditional with you and say, I'll only serve you if you do this or if you do that. Lord, we want to come to you as you are. And today, Lord, we give you permission because we do have free will. So we give you permission. We're saying, come and be the Lord of our lives. Come and unearth anything that's not supposed to be inside of us, oh God. Till the soil of our hearts and let your love drive out anything that's not supposed to be there. I come against any addictions right now in Jesus' name. Lord, would your love come in and so pervade in those hearts that are struggling with addiction that it would just cast that stuff out. And that stuff would be driven out. The light would come and drive out the darkness. And then it wouldn't be an act of like us trying to do something, but it would be an act of surrender and humility. That we surrender addictions, Lord. We surrender our anger. We surrender, Lord, where we don't live up, where we don't line up. Lord, we surrender to you and we say, come, Holy Spirit. Shine your light into our lives. Lord, we want to anchor our faith and our trust in you and you alone. Help us to live this way every single day. Lord, we love you. We bless you and we honor you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.